The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. Taping this on a Friday afternoon, the day after, I don't want to say the NBA died, but something super traumatic happened. The Chris Paul trade was canceled. And randomly, we had a Knicks fan and a diehard NBA fan here in the studio, Michael Rappaport.
Yes, sir.
To discuss all kinds of stuff, but we might as well start with this. There was like a three-hour window yesterday when it looked like the Knicks were going to have Chris Paul, Tyson Chandler, and Carmelo Anthony, and that was going to be your threesome. Like, were you aware this was going on? They were going to trade Amari.
Whoa,
you didn't know this part?
Oh,
yeah. They're going to trade Amari for Chris Paul, and they're going to sign Tyson Chandler and amnesty Chauncey Billups and have this. That would have been an amazing nucleus. Chandler, Chris Paul, Carmelo. I mean, crunch time? The best crunch time point guard in terms of getting everybody the ball in the right spot.
Right.
And probably the best crunch time scorer right now other than Dirk.
Right.
On the same team.
I didn't even hear
the
about
city,
that.
Of New York.
Does Amari know that he was on the...
It came out today. He's not going to be happy.
Whoa, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
This is the thing about, this whole... My nutshell thing about this big three thing is that, let's say the Knicks had gotten Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And it was Chris Paul, Amari Stoudemire, and Carmelo.
Right.
Six of the best players would be on two teams.
You don't like that.
Six of the best players in the entire... So what would the All-Star game be? The Knicks and the Heat... And also, like, what happens to the rest of the league?
They watch the Knicks-Laker games, and they think about playing for one of the two teams.
I think it's terrible.
You don't like it. You don't like stacking.
I don't like stacking, and I said on a tweet, it's in the tweet land.
Tweet land, interesting.
It's out there, that I said, I don't want the Knicks to get Chris Paul because I don't agree with the whole big three thing. And then someone said, what about the Celtics? It's not the same thing. Ray Allen and Garnett came... They're in their 30s.
Yeah.
You know, and then they said, well, what about San Antonio? They drafted Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Okay? And Sean Elliott is not in that caliber. He's a great role player. But,
right.
You know, this whole idea of, like, stacking these teams and I want to go play here and, you know, Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, they're all hanging out, giving out turkeys. I'm not a fan of this. You know, I'm an old school fan.
You're old school. You create your own team. You're like a gang.
Yeah.
I have my gang. You have your gang. He has his gang. Then we all play.
Now, the Denver Nuggets, they actually created a gang. Unfortunately, they all were like gang.
You know,
they literally were nuts. But, like, you know, they drafted these guys. They traded and they didn't play.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's a small market team. Like, I just think that, you know, Dwight Howard, he requests he gets traded to the Nets. Chris Paul wants it. Is that the way it worked? Like, is that a new thing?
You don't think Bill Russell, like, requested a trade to the Minneapolis Lakers?
No, I don't. Yeah. I just don't understand, like, how these guys are. It really bothers me. It really, really bothers me.
Apparently.
And I was okay with Chris Paul getting traded with the Lakers, and now you got David Stern. Can you break down for the layman?
Yeah.
How this happened? Just the layman. The bullet points of the trade was agreed to by all the parties, and then what?
Well, here's what really happened. I think they started negotiating this trade like 3-4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The league has owned this team for 12 months.
Right.
We just had a lockout for 6 months. They knew at the end of this lockout, Chris Paul was going into his final season, and he was going to get traded.
Right.
During that entire 6 months, they never realized or acknowledged that there was a huge conflict of interest brewing and that Chris Paul was going to want to be traded to the Knicks, the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Clippers, all the usual teams you'd think.
Right.
They just didn't do anything about it. So then they empower this GM, Del Demps, to basically negotiate the trade and make it.
By the ownership group
of the Hornets, which is basically the 29 owners and David Stern. They tell Del Demps, you can make a trade. Everybody is negotiating with him under the assumption that he has final say in that trade. It would be like if I was trying to buy your car and you said, my business manager is in charge of that. You call him, figure out a price. I'm good with whatever
and then
happens.
You guys did it.
Yeah, and then you went back. You're like, no, I'm not selling the car for $17,000.
Right.
Like, but what you just told me.
No, 25.
25? Okay. Sorry.
25.
All right, you bumped me up.
No, I'm saying, yeah, you agreed to him for 17, now 25.
And you had six, seven teams that wasted their time here. And then the other issue is that you have all these teams now that, like the Knicks, they find out, Amari finds out they're trying to trade him. Not only that, they agree with Tyson Chandler, not knowing that Chris Paul now is going to be a free agent in 7 months. They'd rather have Chris Paul, so they kind of shot their wad there.
Right.
Celtics dangle Rondo this whole time. They don't get Chris Paul either. Now Rondo hates the Celtics. The Gasol and Odom,
right.
Now they're back.
Right.
Luis Scola and Kevin Martin, now they're back. And then Chris Paul's furious. He hates everybody.
Right.
See, five teams now that this screwed up.
I was happy about Lamar Odom going to, was it New Orleans?
Oh, for the pot smoking, possibly?
No. Oh. For the fact that Chloe would have to go, you know, like she'd be ousted out of L.A. Like, it would get them the hell out of L.A. Like, Chloe and Lamar, get the hell out.
You don't watch that show?
I do. But, like, you know how when you see, like, you
yeah.
know, like some roadkill on the side of the road and you'll look at it but then look away, it's the same kind of thing.
Did you watch the show this year? Because I actually watched the first two episodes, and I don't think anyone's ever come off worse on a reality TV show than Chris Humphries. You watch that show and you're just like, wow, I wouldn't spend $5 on that guy in free agency.
Poor bastard.
Yeah, bad move. Don't go on the show, Chris.
No, don't go on the show, Chris. Don't get married, Chris. And I mean,
and put a shirt on.
Put a shirt on.
Put a shirt on for like two
I don't
scenes.
Know. Do you, like what happened? Like what kind of sucker are you?
Oh, it's got to be that something about Kim. She just breaks guys. Anyway, back to the thing. So I think Stern, you know, he just said they had this labor agreement. Part of this labor agreement was, well, no, we took care of the revenue sharing. No, no, there's going to be better competitive balance. And the first thing that happens is the league-owned team is pushing Chris Paul to L.A. And some of these small market owners complained, and Stern doesn't have the same power anymore. He caved.
And then, although they said also some of the big market owners complained too, but not the Lakers, but like the Celtics.
But of course they complain. Like if I own the Celtics, I'm complaining that the Lakers just got Chris Paul.
So what's the going? What's going to be the solution? Not if theoretically, what's going to happen now?
I think they're going to say that he can't get traded, and that he has to play out the season because it's a league-owned team, and they have to have a buyer before they trade him.
And what about Dwight Howard?
Are you in a fantasy league?
No. Should I?
Well, I would say the equivalent would be the guy in your fantasy league who's out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then somebody always tries to get him drunk and trade for his best guy.
Yeah.
And there's always like this unspoken rule you can't trade with that guy.
Yeah.
I think that's the Chris Paul rule.
So he's just going to have to play it out in New Orleans.
And be miserable.
Man.
And then what happens if he hurts his knee? And he would have had this like $40 million extension with the Lakers. Now, do you think... Being the basketball savant student, everything that you are.
Yeah.
Chris Paul and Kobe on the same team. Why was everybody so anxious to think that this would have been like an awesome partnership? I'm not saying it wouldn't, but I think there could have been real issues there.
What do you think the issues would be?
Kobe's never played with a point guard ever.
Yeah, but that's good though. I mean, he's a point guard who likes to pass.
Who, down one, 20 seconds left, who has the ball? What's the play?
Who's ever, you know what? And like, just like I tell like the third graders that I coach, whoever's open.
Whoever's
open. That's who has the ball and that's who shoots. If you're open, you shoot it. And Chris Paul to me is the kind of point guard. And I'm not like the biggest Chris Paul fan. Like I'm not a Chris Paul fan, but I'm not like, I haven't seen him play as much as like in your book, you broke down. What was his season that he didn't win the MVP?
It was great. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I didn't watch him. So I mean, I think he's great, but I'm not like, I honestly haven't spent as much time watching him as I should have.
Yeah.
I've seen him play. But basically, the thing that I like about Chris Paul is I think he's a natural point guard. So if he's open, he'll shoot. If not, he'll pass it.
So you think he just would have made everyone better? He would have he would have really helped Bynum.
I think he would have helped
Bynum. Would have been the big winner.
And I think it would have helped Kobe. I think that he would have set Kobe up. I think he would have got Kobe easier shots because Chris Paul creates attention.
Yeah.
And he also was able to slash. I mean, I just think I think it would have been good. The big factor would have been, can they win without Gasol? Is Bynum going to last? You know, he's so hit and miss. And, you know, Lamar, you know, who I was joking about the Chloe and Lamar show, I like Lamar when he's playing. He's tall. He plays like a guard. You know, he has a lot of different skills.
It's a good guy to have on your team.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Like, they gave up a lot of front court debt. As a Celtic fan, I kind of wanted the trade to go through because I don't think they would have been as good. I thought the thing that made them special was how much size they had up front. They combusted last year for a variety of reasons.
What were the reasons? What's the inside scoop?
I think they were a little tired of Phil. I think maybe you coach a team for that long, you're a little burned out.
Right.
Dallas, bad matchup.
Right.
Dallas just got hot.
Right.
Dallas started making threes. Dallas started playing really well, and it kind of snowballed on them.
Right.
And also, they had a really weird issue of their best, three of their best four guys couldn't play at the same time. They couldn't play Bynum, Gasol, and Odom at the same time, and one of the guys was always kind of unhappy. And then when they played all of them together, it didn't really work. So I thought the move, I would have traded Bynum.
Yeah, and, right.
And either for a package, for multiple guys, or whatever. I think Bynum, I'd be shocked if he started playing 82 games a year.
Yeah, well, I that's the thing with him. How old is this dude?
I think he's like 24, 25 now. He's been in the league a while.
But you treat him like he's like Herb Williams in the league. Like he might like four, you know, you get like 20 games.
Herb Williams.
You know how, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he's like an old dude.
Well, this trade would have put their entire future in his hands.
On him.
Which I would have enjoyed because I think he's immature. I don't know how good he is. Now, it was an upside thing. He could have been potentially awesome. But I think
those knees, man.
The knees are worrisome. But I think what the league was worried about was, like, come February, if Bynum was playing well because of Chris Paul and Orlando's going to lose Dwight Howard, you flip those guys. And now it's like, all right, we've created another super team. We just had a 5-month lockout to try to prevent this.
I don't think it would have been a super team. I think I was more comfortable with that trade. I was more comfortable with Chris Paul going to L.A. than Chris Paul going to New York. Because that big three thing, we all hated it. And obviously, that was done with bells and whistles and explosions and, you know, the whole deal. So it wasn't the same kind of thing. But conceptually, I just don't think it's good for the league. I just don't like it. I don't like this.
But do you think because we played basketball way back when and still do a little bit, just there's that rule of hoops where it's like, you don't stack your team.
You
don't look and be like, I'll take these three guys, but you take the guys 4, 5, and 6,
right.
And we're just going to beat you every game.
Right.
Like, nobody does that.
Who wants to play like that?
Nobody.
And you know, and I don't think I ever rooted for a team so hard as I rooted for the Dallas Mavericks more than any team.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, more than like Knicks teams when I was, or like, you know, like I was. Like, passionately, like, everybody, I think, was, like, rooting for the Dallas Mavericks to win that game for so many different reasons. And, you know, they did it. It's just like, you know, the whole Moneyball thing. I don't know. I'm concerned about the league. I'm concerned about the league's integrity. I just think it's turning into a free-for-all. Like, Denver, like, okay, like, they had Carmelo. Like, now they just got a bunch of lunatics on that team. And, like, one of them is they stuck in China. J.R. Smith.
Two of them are stuck in China.
I mean, this is, like, craziness what's happened. And it's not all the players' fault. And, obviously, I love the players. But I just, the league's integrity to me, and with this David Stern blocking that trade, I think it's like turning into like, you know, a manipulated, you know, manufactured thing. You know what I mean?
You know, there's been a lot of rumors going around that you were so upset about this that you might not play in the celebrity game this year.
I might not. Or I'm, you know what?
If or
I
don't, boycott. Like, no, I don't think that has to happen. I think you need to take it out on your
fans.
Maybe you should.
At the last minute. I don't want to play under Bill Simmons and Bill Walton next year. I want to play with Bieber.
Well, I'm not going to be in the game this year. Just an FYI.
Not even assistant coach?
They told me I was going to be the head coach. And then I showed up and Bill Walton had a clipboard and he was ordering everyone around. You didn't get enough time, in my opinion.
I didn't get enough time.
You were in Bieber's head.
I was in Bieber's head. I was in a lot of
people. You really were.
Head.
You were in Bieber's head.
But you know what? That Bieber, you know, last year I didn't have it. But this year, if we played the game, I would want to get my picture taken with Bieber. I do have Bieber fever.
Oh, you're in on Bieber now.
I do have Bieber.
You were angry at him last year.
I know, because I thought he was a total joke. And then I saw, number one, he's not as bad as I thought. He could play ball.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I heard him freestyle rap. And I was like, holy, can I curse?
Yeah, sure.
I was like, holy. And then the other day, I found myself humming along to his new Christmas single.
Oh.
On my own, driving my car. And I was like, wow, I actually do have Bieber fever.
The celebrity game, I was kind of frightened.
I know. Because
you're like, I'm going to take that guy out.
I couldn't catch the little.
Yeah.
I couldn't catch it. It was too wiry and fast.
It was like watching Bill Laimbeer go after Michael Jordan in some blowout. Like, I'm just taking Jordan out. I'm going to try to cripple him.
There was one time where I like swiped down on him, but I missed him. So is there going to be an All-Star
That would have been the biggest internet moment of the year.
I know.
If you had like decked Justin Bieber and he was like knocked unconscious, they had to put him on the cart and wheel him out.
I know. I
would have been America's villain. I think ultimately good for your career.
Absolutely. It would have been a good career.
Mario Lopez is at the Grove starting Extra. What show does he do?
Michael Rappaport.
More on the Rappaport story.
The Rappaport beat him. Rappaport was accosted and beaten up and jumped by, you know, 17, 15-year-old girls. On
Canadian girls, yeah. Yeah.
But is there going to be an All-Star game this year?
Yes.
There is going to be an All-Star
it's
game.
It's in Orlando. Yeah, they don't mess with the All-Star game.
And so there's going to be an All-Star game, so there's going to probably be a celebrity.
It's
All-Star.
A really effed up season. Like, for the record, they crammed in these 66 games. And like,
make them play. They're getting paid enough.
It's a stretch.
3, 4, 5. Do like, you know, like, what is it?
Wait, that's happening.
Broadway, when they have like the early game.
Well, they should just done double headers the way they did the schedule.
Double headers and matinees. Do a matinee game and then, you know.
The Celtics have, there's one 9-day stretch in April. They play 7 times in 9 games. Seven games in 9 days.
So what?
Back-to-back, day off. 3 in a row, day off, back-to-back. Kevin Garnett will be, like, carried out in a stretcher by the end of
it. Yeah, it's fine. You know, yeah. The whole thing's it's a produced thing. It's like the X Factor.
It's the whole thing is the more games you can play, the more the guys get paid. And the more the teams make.
And the guys are like, play us.
Yeah, the guys are like, yeah. But what people seem to think is going to happen is like San Antonio or like some of the veteran teams, San Antonio, Boston, whoever, they're going to look at the schedule and they're going to be like, yeah, we're not going to send our starters for that one.
Right.
We're going to lose that game by 40. We'll take the loss. So we're going to save ourselves for these 5 games instead. And then Stern's going to get mad. And those teams are going to go, well, we want to make the playoffs. Like, do you mind if we rest Tim Duncan? He's 35 years old. Right. We're not going to play him in Toronto on a back-to-back-to-back.
This is what the problem is. Let me ask you a question. Right now, today, who's going to win the NBA championship?
Miami.
They're going to win it.
Oh, it's done. It's done.
With that Shane Battier?
It's done.
Man.
It's there's really literally no way they can lose.
Well, last year we thought that.
This year they can't lose.
Come on, what about Dallas?
Just nod and say there's no way they can lose.
No, I don't want to say
that. The rules are set up for them because
the league wants them to win the NBA.
Well, the way they did the system was if you were under the luxury tax, you could use your whole mid-level exception. So, boom, they get Shane Battier. Now they can still get like one other, like they can get Kenyon Martin when he comes back from China. Kenyon will be like, he'll be down 20 pounds, so he'll spend 10 weeks in a Chinese jail. He'll just be happy to be on a contender.
Right. He'll be ready to
So he'll sign, he's in, he's their backup power forward, and then they get like Baron Davis or whoever. Like, they'll have 8 guys this year, and I think it's gonna be hard for them to lose. The Celtics didn't get better. The Knicks, you know, you watched Amari last year. You see Amari being able to get through a 66-game schedule?
I don't see
with
the
D'Antoni
Knicks.
Playing him 42 games minutes a night? No way.
No, with no defense.
No.
The Knicks aren't doing anything.
Amari's kind of like the kind of guy that you don't like for basketball.
I like
basketball.
Amari.
But I mean, as a basketball, like if he was on your team, you wouldn't enjoy it.
Because of why? Because
he's one of those offense only, doesn't really care about making anyone better, doesn't play defense. You'd have to cover him.
Right. What about Carmelo?
You'd have to cover for him.
What about Carmelo?
Ball stopper. You wouldn't like him either.
So? We got two of them.
You wouldn't like to be on that team.
No, I wouldn't like to be on that team. And then the freaking Dan Antoni, we got no defense. He should take the D out of his name. He should just be Antoni.
Nobody can say it properly. He's on the hot seat.
Because they don't play any D.
He should be Antoni. Interesting.
Antoni, take the D out because you guys don't play
like Antoni.
I just made that up right now. Has anyone else ever said that?
I think so.
Oh, crap.
But as far as you know. Let's talk about, I want to switch gears because when we were letting you in the building.
Yes.
The security guard was all excited to see you. Mm-hmm. And he was excited because you were in the Triple H movie.
Yes.
Has this happened to you a lot?
The
Triple H movie. Did this open some sort of door for you with the wrestling fans that you didn't realize had opened?
No, it hasn't. I didn't see that film yet. I like working.
You made a movie and you haven't seen it yet?
That happens. You know.
How does that happen?
I'm busy.
I would see every movie I'm in. So the movie comes out.
I didn't see it. I was in the midst of the Tribe Called Quest documentary, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, which you still haven't seen.
Grammy nominated,
PGA nominated, and I don't mean golf, my friend.
But I feel the same way about that doc as I do about Breaking Bad. I'm saving it for the perfect weekend where I'm like, now here's the weekend.
Haven't gotten into Breaking Bad?
I have all the DVDs. I'm just saving. They're right there.
I know I'm going to love it.
Oh, you're into it.
I just finished season one, and it's everything everyone made it up to be.
Now, what was your TV? Like, did you ever make a run at, like, a cable TV show or anything like that?
I've never been on a cable TV show. I've never been on one. I would love to be on one. They make the best TV on cable.
Did you ever do a TV deal where they
Never.
You were like the, you know, one of the key, like House, like you're like either House or the number two House.
I've never, I did the sitcom on Fox, The War at Home, and then I've done guest things, but that was my only, like, you know, from the inception of a show.
So like CSI.
CSI.
They do CSI Jersey.
CSI the Bronx. Michael Rapaport.
That would be interesting.
CSI.
But you do those for like 8 years, and then all of a sudden you have like $50 million in the bank. Yeah.
A lot of money. What do you think Lawrence Fishburne was doing that for? Because of, you know,
Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
Just banging out $10 million years on those shows.
Banging them.
But you must have been approached for some of those. Was there a show you turned down that you didn't, you were like, damn, I didn't realize that show was going to be on for 8 years?
There was a show that I, yeah, but I don't want to say which one it is.
Oh, come on.
I didn't turn it down, but it was, One.
What was that? Was it a police show or a hospital show?
Comedy. A half an hour comedy, which is still on, and just they're just cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. And I was like, But I mean, it wasn't a sure thing. Like, it was like, it probably could have been, but it, you know, but you never know.
What about a drama about an actor who's coaches his kids' third and fourth grade games and just gets into youth sports fights every week
with referees
and other dads and stuff.
Well, yeah, that would be cool. I'd be into that. You have girls, right?
No, I have a girl and a boy.
Oh, right. How old is
the
boy?
The boy's only four, but the girl is into the whole soccer thing. It's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting reflection of society.
You're
these games.
A freak, like, if you ever coach those games. Like, if you ever...
I can't do it.
You would never coach?
I get too frustrated.
My son's playing in the Super Bowl today in the Barrington Recreational League. Today, 4 p.m.
Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
How old is he?
He's nine.
Nine. So you
did... His highlights are on YouTube, my friend.
So...
He's like a Bavaro type.
A Bavaro? Interesting.
He's like a Bavaro. He's like now, a Jewish Bavaro.
Did you have
he's
any...
He's like Bavaro, except for, you know, like, not Italian.
Did you have
Bavaro
any...
Steam.
Hesitation having your kids play football without the concussion stuff?
No, because it's flag. Anyway, but... No, but he wants to play. Like, he's ready to play. Like, he has the disposition.
He's ready to put the helmet on.
Yeah, he has the disposition to play. Like, we have the same head size. He's nine, and we have the same head.
Big head is important for football.
Yeah, and he has just like that, like, he runs into things, and it doesn't faze him.
Yeah.
My other son is more artsy. He loves sports, but, like, my younger son is more, like, into, like, you know, banging into things and punching things and... You know, so he has that disposition.
How did you get your sons into sports? This is something I'm trying to figure out now. My son's turned four, and this seems like an age where you can start shaping them.
They either like it or they don't like it.
Video games? Did video games help? A couple people told me video games help.
Video games do help, but you don't want them to be really good at video games but can't, like, catch a ball.
Right. You want to find that middle ground.
Yeah, because they know every player in the league, but, you know, they can't do anything. So, you know, like, my son knows every single player in the NBA, both of my kids, and every single player in the NFL from the video games. I mean, random guys, like, on the Colts.
Yeah, and you know, that's also how they learn the rules.
Yeah.
And you don't have to explain them.
Yeah, they learn a lot. But at the end of the day, they got to get out there. And, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're either going to be into it or they're not going to be into it.
I've been taking my daughter to Kings games. And she loves hockey, but doesn't really understand the rules that much. So, like, when there's, you know, like, overtime.
Yeah.
It's like, so next goal wins. So she's like, all right. And like, you can see it's not clicking. The shootout is just, it might as well come from Mars. Like, there's just no way to explain the shootout.
Have there been fights at the games?
Haven't been a fight. There's been a lot of hard checks, but somehow we haven't seen a fight yet. And I'm kind of worried because we sit behind one of the goals and it's like, if there's a fight right in front of us and the guy gets decked or.
Yeah. Why do you keep bringing her to that?
She loves it.
What about the remake of Slapshot? Don't you think there should be a remake of Slapshot?
Well, they're doing this movie Goon.
I know.
Which I don't know how you didn't get involved with. You probably can't skate. You could have been at least one of the enforcers on one of the teams.
I definitely can't skate. But I heard about that. I saw the trailer for it. It looks good.
Yeah, it did look good.
But I'm sure they approached about the Slapshot.
Yeah.
Because Slapshot and Fast Break, which you have the poster right there.
Yes.
The Fast Break poster with Gabe Kaplan. And you know, that was one of the things where I was like, I really do like Bill Simmons when I found out that was one of your favorite.
Where do you stand on remakes, though?
What do you mean?
I mean, you'd want to see Slapshot remade. Like,
hell
I still
yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Like, they remade The Longest Yard, and it wasn't...
Clinker.
They remade Bad News Bears, wasn't good.
Really? That was really bad. The Longest Yard, the original...
A classic. A little slow now.
Wasn't a great film, though.
The football stuff was good, though.
The football stuff was good, but the film itself wasn't good. The remake, fun. My kids like it, but it didn't live up to expectations. Billy Bob Thornton, I'm a huge fan.
They should have left that alone. You should have left that one alone.
They should have left that alone because their whole mentality on it was bad. Because Walter Matthau, for all his cursing and beer drinking, sweetest, most likable guy. You know the story about Walter Matthau? When he met Sophia Loren, you know what his first words were?
What?
Pleased to meet you. It's a true story. It's a true story, Bill. It is. I didn't make that up. I wish I did. I wish I had made that term up. Pleased to meet you.
Fortunately, he's dead and he can't sue us.
No, but he said this. This is the story during the Grumpy Old Men when he met her at the table. He said, "Pleased to meet you." Only see Walter Matthau could say that. Billy Bob Thornton, he says that. It's frightening.
So if you could remake any sports movie and make yourself the star or the director, what would it be?
Slapshot. It'd be Slapshot.
So you'd be Paul Newman's character.
I would have to be one of the Hansons. I just want to direct it. I want to direct Slapshot. I don't have those blue eyes.
One of the Hansons.
Yeah, that'd be...
Or maybe like the Hansons' dad.
The Hansons' dad. I don't necessarily
or older brother.
Or with that one guy with the missing tooth in it.
Oh, yeah, you could be that guy.
Yeah, I don't need a big part in it. I just think the film, because the fighting element, the Hansons... And, you know, I just think the physicality of hockey would be great. And, like, Bush League hockey.
But you can play basketball just well enough that it seems like you should be remaking something with basketball in it.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, Fast Break, One-on-One, the Robbie Benson movie.
Fast Break would be the one to remake. You're in the Bronx. You're working at a deli. You've always wanted to be a basketball coach.
What are we doing about this, that?
Let's do it right now. When we finish the podcast, we're going to type the script up.
The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh was so bad in the original.
Yeah, it can't be remade because nobody wanted to see it made.
Yeah, I mean, but
it's got some unbelievable Dr. J footage, though.
Unbelievable Dr. J.
It really is good.
Montage
it's really
in the
good.
Park at night.
His afro is the perfect size, too. It's, like, just nice.
And then dunking in full clothing in the park at night.
There's a famous story about that where if you watch the movie, they play the Lakers in the last game.
Mm-hmm.
And Kareem's in the game in, the first half.
Right.
But then in the second half, he's not there anymore.
Like he left for filming?
It's just a mystery. He's just like, I'm out of here.
Spencer Haywood was in it. Norm Nixon was in it.
Yeah. The Lakers, a couple of them looked a little sauced. It was like right there in that heavy cocaine era.
Right. But Doc looked good.
Doc looked great. It was a weird movie. It was a weird time for sports movies because Rocky had happened. They just started churning them out.
Right, right.
And it was just like this run because you had One-on-One and Fast Break.
One-on-One could be remade.
You had Slapshot. One-on-One could be remade. And hopefully not with Robbie Benson, whatever his parallel is now. Like Justin Bieber as the Robbie Benson type. Maybe that'd probably make money.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could remake, you know what, we could remake The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh with Justin Bieber.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
All these movies were on over and over again during the lockout. NBA TV bought One-on-One, Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, and Hoosiers, and just ran them again and again.
And you know why I realized the NBA, I realized they weren't playing games, is during the lockout, they removed all content.
Oh, they had to, yeah.
Of all the players.
Yep.
They
who
took
weren't
all
retired.
Their images, and they shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to NBA.com, it was like, you know.
Yeah.
Bernard King was back up there, you know, they shut
that
it down.
That was nice to see Bernard again.
I love Bernard.
Bernard was amazing in Fast Break.
Bernard was in Fast Break.
He was so good in Fast Break.
That's right. There's some good Bernard King footage in that,
too. Oh, yeah.
And who else was in it?
The master of the two-hander.
Yeah. He had the nice dunks and nice backwards dunks.
They had Michael Warren from Hill Street Blues.
Right, right. And then
who played with Kareem. They had the guy, the black guy who's from Vision Quest, the officer and a gentleman, that guy.
He was good.
And he was also in Inside Moves.
Right.
With, remember that movie?
With Tom Cruise?
Inside Moves was the lost great sports movie of the late 70s.
With Tom Cruise?
No.
Inside Moves, oh no! Rory!
Rory!
John Savage
and David Morris, I think.
That's a good film.
It's a really good film.
You could remake that, although it's kind of it's unbelievable. That's a good movie.
It's got some legit Golden State Warriors footage in there.
Like
Joe Barry Carroll's in there and Phil Smith and a couple other guys.
Was Robert Parrish on the
Golden He might have, Parrish might have, was no, it was either Parrish or Joe Barry Carroll were in that. It might have been Parrish.
Was Parrish on the Golden State Warriors?
He was.
He's in that movie.
Yeah.
And the guy falls on, he trips him down the steps at the end.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
It's a good movie.
And what was the way all
slightly improbable. The bartender needed knee surgery, who gets it, and now all of a sudden he's on the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, and he's a white dude.
You could do that one, though.
We'd have to, but what's
it? Do a little surgery.
The D-League?
I don't know how Bieber fits in there.
No, we can't put him in everything.
I like you in one-on-one with Bieber.
As
Bieber's
coach,
Robbie Benson, you're the coach.
I'm down for that.
Or maybe you're the evil assistant coach.
That's fine.
We blow up that role. There's
I'm
a bigger
fine
role
with that.
For you.
Anything with Bieber, you're good to go. What about the X Factor? Do you watch the X Factor?
No.
Okay, I do.
I only know one person. Jay Kang in our office, the great Jay Kang.
Yeah.
Watches it religiously.
I got into it. I've never watched American Idol. I've never watched any of those things. And now I watch The X Factor, and I'm looking forward to American Idol.
Really?
It's really, yeah. And it's weird, because now I'm starting to, like, find myself going, instead of going to the Starbucks in the neighborhood that we share, I go to the Starbucks in West Hollywood. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just saying, like, weird things are happening since I started watching that show. It's strange.
I started watching American Idol, I think, like 3 years ago when my daughter... It's a good show for little girls.
Yeah.
Nice format. They're singing. It was the year David Archuleta was on. He was this little kid. It was like kind of, and she got into it. And it sucks you in, those stupid shows.
Yes. But I've been watching, I brought up the X Factor.
You've been sucked in when they pick a song and you go, oh, that's a terrible choice.
Right.
That's not the right choice for them.
For that person, for that artist.
Oh, why didn't they choose this?
Yeah.
That's when you know it's gone bad.
Yeah.
Would you ever want to be a judge for one of those?
Yes. I never even thought about that until you said I would definitely want to be a judge.
You'd be good because you don't give a crap.
I don't give a crap. I've never tried to sing.
Yeah.
I've no. But those little kids, like, how do you send home a 13-year-old girl that wants it so bad?
It's a tough one.
And I think that I feel like some of these stories, they're all poor. They're all adopted. Like, come on. Every single one of them is poor. They're ex-drug addicts.
They deliberately try to find some of those people.
I know, and then they amp it up.
Like, tell me about what you did this documentary on Tribe Called Quest that was very well received.
Yes.
And it was not the easiest documentary to get into the theaters.
No.
Because the band doesn't really like each other that much.
Yes.
How did you navigate that whole thing?
You know, it was hard because, you know, the group itself, you know, I was dealing with them as individuals. I never dealt with them under the auspices of a Tribe Called Quest. I dealt with Q-Tip. I dealt with Fife. I dealt with Jarobi. I dealt with Ali individually. And then at the end, they would sort of have to be forced to come together to make a collective decision. Although one of them would say, I like this. The other one would say, I don't like that. It just was patience, fighting. You know, we had a contract in place and, you know, that was really what it came down to. And I think at the end of the day, you know, aside from the fact that some of the stuff they didn't like, or this one didn't like, or that one did like, at the end of the day, I think they all felt like it was a good movie.
Did they make you take anything out last minute that you were just like, damn, that hurt. That hurts the movie.
There was this one scene that they, as a group, they didn't want in the movie.
Really?
And if you saw the scene, you'd be like, what the hell is the big deal?
The DVD? Put it back for the DVD or no?
It's floating around. It's out there.
Were they happy with it? Like, did they feel like, are they glad that it exists?
Based on all their tweets, and you know, they all showed up, except for Q-Tip, they all showed up to support different film festivals, and they were all there. And I think they were glad it exists. I mean, you know, I didn't make the movie for A Tribe Called Quest. I didn't get hired by A Tribe Called Quest. And I didn't, like, my agenda wasn't, I'm going to make this movie for you guys. And here, I made it because I'm a fan and I made it for the fans.
Yeah.
So essentially, you know, listen, if somebody was telling a very, you know, a personal story about you, you might not like all the things. But at the end of the day, you can't really judge it because it's like looking yourself in the mirror. It's like, you know, you look at yourself in the mirror, you say, oh, I have a blemish under my eye, I have a pimple. And your wife's like, you're fine. But, you know, no, it looks crazy. It's the same thing like with a documentary. Like, and I'm not the first filmmaker to make a documentary about a subject and the subject not be totally happy about it. It's not going to be the last one. The bottom line is the movie has been so well reviewed, so well received, it made money at the box office for a documentary. Like, everybody's making their money back, which is unprecedented for most documentaries this year, unless you strike lightning.
I can vouch for that firsthand because we went 30 for 30. We got nominated for the IDA Awards, which is like all the documentarians, basically.
Right.
And it's the most bitter group of people you ever meet.
Because it's like bring your own lunch, right?
Yeah, it's like they've spent 8 years working on this documentary about birds in Africa.
Right.
And what are you going to make for that? You're going to make $20,000.
Right.
And they're just, everybody's angry.
And they show up for this award ceremony. It's like, you got to like bring a fold out chair.
Oh,
yeah. No money, right?
They have like an open bar for like an hour beforehand. There's no dinner.
Right.
Like they don't spend anything.
Right.
And they're all resentful of like the three people who are doing really well, like Morgan Spurlock
right.
and Alex Gibney. And
right.
They're all kind of secretly like, oh, yeah, that guy,
right.
he's making money. And
right.
I just spent 19 years in Kenya
right.
working on my tent documentary.
On birds that have AIDS
yeah,
in
yeah.
Africa. That
yeah,
are
yeah.
to China that, you know, so the film, I mean, we're nominated for a Grammy. We're nominated for a PGA Award. It made money.
Hey, we're nominated for a PGA Award.
Which one?
I'll see you at the PGA Awards.
Right, what's we? What?
30 for 30.
But which
the whole
thing?
Series, yeah.
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
not surprising. But is 30 for 30 still called 30 for 30? It's like I'm confused.
That series is done, and now we're starting the next one next October, it looks like. And you're going to do one of the 30.
And I have the best. I have the best pitch, and I met with the guy.
You want to do it now?
Well, no, because...
Oh, you can't pitch it now on the podcast?
I can pitch it now.
Don't. We'll save it
no,
for
I'll
later.
No, I'll save it.
I'm excited.
It. But I keep...
You have a spot.
Yes.
We penciled you in.
Yes. So you're going to do 30 for 30s.
Yeah.
Cool. The Marinovich one, it's coming on Tuesday, right?
It's excellent.
I bet.
It's excellent.
It's
actually better than I thought it was going to be. Because you never know with those. Because sometimes we always caught like the E60 versus sports documentary.
Right.
Like sometimes ideas are great, but they're just better as E60 segments. They're better for 12 minutes.
Right. I agree.
And sometimes to stretch it out for an hour, you have to have like a real story. The Chris Herren thing was one that.
I agree.
I was worried it was an E60 one, but it was the opposite. It was spectacular.
I thought
spectacular.
It was good. I don't agree.
Really? You didn't?
I liked it. I think it was good, but I felt like it was like basic, you know, rock star, had all the potential, blew it. You know, guy had all the potential. We've seen that story. I think it was well
but
done.
But didn't you knew?
I like the way it was crafted.
It was well crafted.
Yep.
But you knew the story, though. Most people didn't.
No.
So when he went down like the first time, you're thinking, oh, well, that's it. And then it's like, oh, yeah, he's going to go down here. And then
yes.
it's like, oh, that's too bad. And then it's like, oh, yeah, no, he's going to go way down
yeah.
now.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't good. They all have something to them. It wasn't one of my
What was your favorite 30 for 30?
My favorite 30 for 30 is the Muhammad and Larry one.
Oh.
That to me is the best
Interesting.
One.
Interesting. Yeah, that one's been kind of forgotten.
And the reason why I think to me that was the best one is because they had this freaky thing where they had the archival footage.
Yeah, it was great.
Which was gems.
Yeah, it was in a warehouse for like 25 years or something.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Plus, they were able to get them now. So you were able to have two storylines kind of interwoven because you had Larry Holmes then, you had Larry Holmes now. And the Muhammad Ali subject is so, it's crazy because how many I think I can name five, six, seven documentaries just on Ali, and it's never-ending fascination. So for me, that was...
So you'd watch Ali Week. We were thinking about Ali Week and Tyson Week. Separate of 30 for 30.
Absolutely. Ali Week and Tyson Week, for sure. Like, and it'll compete with Shark Week.
Tyson Week, that's the thing. We're going to get Tyson Week. We're actually going to get Tyson to film stuff in front of a green screen where he's on the top of a shark. Tyson Week.
Yo, are you seriously thinking about doing that?
Oh, yeah. We want Tyson Week. We want to do Tyson Week.
Are you thinking about doing Ali Week?
We want to have... Well, we're
you
talking
gotta
about
Ali
all
Week
kinds of stuff.
You got to do Ali Week before Tyson Week.
The only problem with Ali is it does feel like with Ali that almost everything's been done.
Yeah, but you mean same with Tyson?
Tyson, that's not true.
Oh, it's been covered pretty good.
It was covered pretty good at the time, but now I think there's been enough distance where people forget. You
That's
know, like,
true.
I was reading...
But Ali Week, there's so many great documentaries that you could have, like, so many different subjects. I mean, like...
True.
You could do a night, a
but
week.
But does anyone under 30 care?
If they don't, they should be forced to watch it. Like,
but then,
you'd
see,
watch
Ali
the Civil
was from,
War or Vietnam.
Well, that's true. But Ali from...
Because Muhammad Ali is the most important sports figure ever, period.
I'm with you
story.
For one, but for a whole week,
yes.
I don't know if we get people under 30.
I totally disagree.
I hope we do.
Yes, you get Justin Bieber, he'll be on.
You know
there.
What? But scary though is because we only know things from our frame of reference. Like nobody under 30 even knows who Evel Knievel is. Remember Evel Knievel
of
when
course.
We were kids? Like, was there a bigger thing than Evel Knievel at a jump on Wild World of Sports?
No,
it was
but
like the biggest moment of the weekend.
Get Johnny Knoxville to host that. He'll host it. He already
Evel
did
Knievel?
Something on. Of course he would. And get Travis Pastrana and Sean White. They'll all talk about Evel Knievel.
Wow, he's probably on the next list.
Yeah, that's
for the next 30.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's not official yet, but it's like 99.9%. And I think the best thing for us this time around is it's much easier to explain the series this time. We'll just, I think we'll get whatever directors.
I want Ali Week.
You want Ali Week?
I want Ali Week badly.
What Ali documentary would you want to see the most?
Oh, man. I mean, there's, I mean, of course, When We Were Kings, I think that in the Ali Week.
See, that's the thing. When We Were Kings was great. The Holmes one's already been done.
The Thrill in Manila one?
But that's been done by HBO. They did a great documentary about that.
You mean we have Ali Week and have to create all new content?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't do that for any of these guys.
You can do it for Tyson.
No, you can't. It's already been done. There's been so many great. There's been a handful of. He's only 45 years old.
Can do it for Tyson.
All right. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying Ali's first, then Tyson. Or why don't you do Ali versus Tyson?
What do you think Jerry Cooney could get a whole week?
What's going to happen to the sport of boxing? Is it going to go extinct after Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather?
Every time people say boxing's on the out, like people buy that. They bought that Cotto Margarito fight.
That was a nice fight.
But I mean,
Margarito was he's a real.
Margarito's washed up 3 years ago, and he's a bad dude.
He's a raging bull guy.
He's a borderline murderer.
I want to put him in a film. He's got the best face.
Oh, he's got like those Vito Antifermo, Antifermo faces.
And he's always like this with the beard. And he should be like in a he should be in a Quentin Tarantino film. Like,
so you want
people?
You want to do more and more documentaries, or you pick and choose?
I don't want to be a documentary filmmaker as like my full time thing. But I love documentaries. I love directing. I want to direct narrative films. But documentaries to me, like 30 for 30s or something that's. It has an in and an out. I would love to do it. The thing about the Tribe movie, it was 3 years. And it was like completely independently made. So it was like, at times, I felt like we were swimming in the ocean by ourselves.
When's it out on DVD?
It's out now, Bill.
Why didn't you tell us?
I got it in my car. You blew away your
DVD. Oh, I'll buy it. No, you bought my book. I'll buy your DVD.
No.
I'm going to buy it. I'm the kind of guy who wants to buy it.
Okay, but you got to go to Amoeba and buy it. Don't download it. I want you to buy it. Loud system, you got a nice system in your house? I've never been invited over. We live blocks away.
I
walk my dog by there. But I want you to watch it properly, and it's got great sports references, and you're gonna dig it.
All right, I'm excited for it. No, I will definitely dig it.
And
you realize that I watch a documentary on any musical group, act, person, and I'm 100% in. Like the Pearl Jam doc.
Yes.
I was all in. I love the whole...
You saw that in the theater?
No, I actually got the DVD. Somebody mailed it to me. That's how I saw it.
Just check.
And actually, PBS aired it on American Masters, which they kind of cheated the whole American Masters concept because they didn't make it themselves. But
exactly.
I like the whole... The bands all have the same arc. Hey, we met. This is great. We're doing what I love. Ooh, we're taking off. Uh-oh. Now we're here and we're fame and now people are picking us apart. Oh, now we're here and the band's falling out. Like, it's the same thing every time. Yeah. It's riveting for some reason.
Yeah.
And I just love the dynamic and the power of the band and people getting jealous of each other.
Right.
It's weird that there hasn't been like a great movie about this.
They've tried
and they've just bombed.
And you mean as far as any genre of music?
Almost Famous
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Well, and Almost Famous.
We should remake, I don't think it's ever been great. Almost Famous was really good. Eddie and the Cruisers was really good.
I can't believe you liked Eddie and the Cruisers. That's one of my favorite random cable movies. It's a classic.
I love it.
It's a classic. It's so good.
I like Eddie and the Cruisers.
Weird Man.
Do Eddie and the Cruisers.
I'm going to say that was Behringer's best movie.
Yep.
Some people say Platoon. I think he was nominated for Platoon. I got Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah, Eddie and the Cruisers.
And maybe Someone to Watch Over Me is number two.
Yeah, but
good one.
But Platoon is the better film. But Eddie and the Cruisers, it's definitely in his top three or four or five films.
Words and Music, Michael Rapaport.
That's right.
Words and Music.
That's right.
All right, you have to go coach.
Got
to
coach.
A Tribe Called Quest. What's the actual title?
Beats, Rhymes, and Life, The Travels of a Tribe Called Quest.
Is it on demand, pay-per-view, any of that
it's
stuff?
It's on demand in certain places. It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. Blu-ray, DVD is worth it. It's got all kinds of extras. It's a good movie. Some of the best music made in the last 30 years by Tribe Called Quest.
And then also you have your new 30 for 30. You're remaking Slapshot, Fast Break, and One-on-One.
All starring Justin Bieber.
And you're going to be in CSI The Bronx. This is big. I got you six jobs during this podcast.
That's it, baby. Good, man.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.